Chazal are speaking about an individual. There's certain situations where you have an Eis HaTzorach for Klal Yisrael, and a person has an obligation to do whatever he can to save the Klal, like the Rambam did. The sacrifice the last years of his life, because he realized that the whole Klal Yisrael depended upon. A person has an obligation to do it. A person can say, I'm going to sit and learn in my room. That's not a simple thing. But the Chazal are talking about a plain person, normal situation, where his basic obligation is to live the proper life, and they're giving you an answer of what the best idea is, the best way to live it is. But it doesn't mean to say that a person cannot find himself in a situation where he has to forfeit his own panasa in order to save people's lives in Torah. He has to do that. But in terms of Mesiras Nefesh to Torah, the only thing I would say is that there really, such a phenomenon does not exist on a high level. Because when we say a person should do certain things at certain times and sacrifice, it means to say that that is the right thing for the person to do. And since it's the right thing for the person to do, and a person does that which is good for its own sake, so there really shouldn't be any sense of Mesiras Nefesh on the part of the doer. If the doer has a sense of Mesiras Nefesh, that he made a great sacrifice, then I would say that he's not really on a level where he's functioning on the highest possible scale. You see? Because there really shouldn't be such a phenomenon. The point is, a person should do that. A person, for instance, Avas Hashem demands that a person not only learn himself, but like the Rambam says, that he bring others to the appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Avraham Avinu, right? So it's then, why did Avraham Avinu go out of his way to wait in a hot day in a desert for a Bedouin to walk in there to give him an idea of God? Why? Because Avas Hashem. So if it's Avas Hashem, it means he's motivated by the love of God. It's not Mesiras Nefesh anymore. To an outsider, it looks like Mesiras Nefesh, but not to the real performer on the highest level. I think the idea that people say that he's a Mosa Nefesh Torah is in a way contradictory, but they perceive it on a low level. They understand it, but it's not the true perception of the concept. If a person that does the mitzvos, he should do the mitzvos with an ava, because of that's the right thing to do. So it's not really Mesiras Nefesh. For another person to be Mesiras Nefesh, not for the person on that level. So truth of the matter is that Mesiras Nefesh for Torah is a misnomer. There is no such phenomenon on a real scale. There's no such thing. There's nobody that gets credit. It's a low level. On a low level, the person is like, I'm giving up my panasa. Yeah, I'm giving up my panasa in order to promote Torah. That's a low level. It means he's giving up a better thing in order to do something. He's making a tremendous sacrifice. What do you mean a sacrifice? If this is the good, then it's not a sacrifice. You realize that this is the right thing to do. And if it's not, so then what are you doing it for? It's really it's no such phenomenon. There's a higher level of operation than Mesiras Nefesh. Higher level of operation. The highest reward that a person receives for a mitzvah is not when it's painful, when on the contrary, when he naturally is attracted to it because he perceives the value of that which is good. It should not be a painful Torah, he's navigating a painful life. And that's the mistake and the misconception of all the umos ha'olah, wahavdil, from the difference between them and between us. They're all the Christians, all of them. They don't have any. Their idea of a religious activity is one in which they're sacrificing and suffering.
That's simply a
psychological phenomenon. All religious psychological satisfaction they get out of that. But that's not what perfection is. You'll never find that. Not in Yadav. That's man-made religion. Man-made religion. As if it's a painful thing. It was a painful thing. Right. That's right. That's right. I can only say this. There's a very famous... No. It doesn't. Excuse me. There's a famous gra on this Maimar Chazal. And the gra says, he said, on Kachi Daka Shel Torah, Pas Melach Tocha Bar Sishan, he said, that's only in the beginning. That's what he said. It says only in the beginning. He says, after a person reaches a certain level, it's not necessary anymore. He says, it means to say that the person's initial commitment has to be such that he simply, like the Rambam says, the Rambam says that when a person who wants to enter the gates of Torah, wants to really reach the high level in Torah, so he says he can't have any other objective. He has to remove all objectives. Just, he has to want only one thing. Total commitment to perfection and knowledge of Torah. And if he doesn't have that, he says he will never attain the Keser Shel Torah. And the Gros says, that's to begin with. That's what the Gros says. But it doesn't mean you never find that Chachomim, Chazal, live Pas Melech and Chai Etzar. You do not find such a thing. You don't find it. The ones that are unfortunately were poor, yeah, but they were many wealthy Chazal. They lived very nicely. It means to say that if a person can't live that way, if a person doesn't recognize the value of Torah in the sense that he would not live in Pas Melech, then of course, then he has no perception of the value of Torah. Because as a matter of fact, if you look at the memory, it says, Ashrecho v'tov loch. And it says, Ashrecho v'olam hazeh. V'tov loch l'olam haba. So the memory itself shows you, Ashrecho v'olam hazeh means this life you'll have a better life. Which means that which others think is a chayei tzar, for a Talmud Chacham, even if he has bread and water, it looks like a chayei tzar. But for that person, he has more olam hazeh than the person is involved in all the titles, because he has the true happiness that stems from an inner perfection and inner satisfaction. So the Chazal, even in the plain meaning, does not mean to say that is not actually praising suffering, not suffering. It's Asher Bala Mazeh, Tovach Hamabah, of course, but Bala Mazeh means a person that lives this way is not in a state of pain. On the contrary, he's in the highest level of happiness. But the Gros says, taken literally as an approach, you don't find Chazal live that way. So the Gros says it means that initially he has to make that initial commitment. That's what the Gros interprets. I understand, but I'm telling you, the idea that the Rambam is conveying is not that the person is suffering. It means that he's neglecting his guf because he's involved in a pursuit of a pursuit which is far greater than any physical pleasure he could have, but not that he's trying to suffer. That is not the purpose. It can't be. It's impossible. You see, the Rambam himself says in the Shmona Prokhim that a person is an Oved Me'ava. Oved Me'ava means he enjoys what he does it so naturally. It's not Chazal. I'm not trying to promote a life of pain. There's no way. As a matter of fact, to find just the opposite. Because many Gemaras, Chazal say exactly the opposite. That the person who there's a Chazal that says that a person that can't enjoy life is incapable of enjoying the simple pleasures in life is a sick person. Gemara says that for every fruit that a person turned down and didn't eat in this world, God will punish him for it. Why didn't he enjoy it? God created the fruit for man, and you say you're not going to enjoy it. The point is, it depends. The nature of the enjoyment is what is the difference. If the enjoyment is that this is the essence of his life, then he's a behemoth. But if the enjoyment is the means to be in a good state for the enjoyment of Torah, on the contrary, enjoyment of Torah, life of Torah is supposed to be all the psukim in the Torah. All the psukim in the Torah. Just take a look at all the psukim in the Torah. What do the psukim say? The bracha v'achat v'chayim l'man tichyat v'zarecha v'samachta v'esecha, and they don't find anywhere in the Torah. The Torah is trying to promote a state of inflict man with a state of pain. On the contrary, Rechadachainoam means it's enjoyable, pleasurable. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine was one time at a bar mitzvah, and the Rav Moshe Feinstein was there. All the rabbanim got up and they were telling the bar mitzvah boys, and now you're going to accept the pain, suffer tremendous, all our mitzvahs, and you have to, it's hard, and they were making him feel very happy. See? So Moshe got up. First of all, he says, it's not right to be mitzayer the bar mitzvah boy. I mean, yeah. He says you shouldn't make him think that it's something that's a painful thing. He says, on the contrary, the mitzvahs are beautiful. A person should enjoy mitzvahs, enjoy Shabbos, tremendous enjoyment. The purpose of the Torah is that a person should have a good life, an enjoyable life, not to make a person suffer. It's not Yadis. Unfortunately, what happens is there's a carryover a lot of time in people's minds. You live in a society and you're affected by their values. So the carryover, and people start transplanting alien notions to who we are. This. Not in the not found with our. His knowledge exceeds his deeds. Knowledge exceeds his deeds. And conversely, avakosha masav merub mechachmasa. Whoever his deeds exceed their knowledge, lemo adoma, who's he to be likened to? Leilon shanafav muwati, to a tree whose branches are few, small. The sharash merub has tremendous roots. Shafilu kol ruach shabolam baos menoshas va'im azin samakama. Even if all the winds in the world hit this tree, it will not move from its spot. Shenema, Pasuk says, Vayakeit shasla pagem mayim, val yuval yishlach shirasha. Vayir ki yavo chom, vayol le ranon, and mishnas batzas le yidig, vayol yomish meses peri. Okay, so it's all a description of how this tree flourishes. Okay. This comes from the third book of Kosa. It's in Yom Yom Tezayin Yates. Hashem uzim uzim nusim yom tzara. Okay. Elecha goyim yavom ha'afsaras yom ha'afshekar, nochal ha'vaseinu ha'vayim bom moil. So the Navi predicts that eventually the Goyim will recognize that that their ideas, their religions are false. That's what they'll say. Ach sheken achalo v'seinu. You see what the Navi says? Navi, the way the Navi describes it, it's not that the that they're going to say you have the right religion, we have the wrong religion. You see, they'll say ach sheken achalo v'seinu. Say that our forefathers handed us down sheker. Sheker means false, lies. Hevel v'im bom moel. Hevel means they're empty and there's no benefit in what we receive. That's eventually, they're going to recognize that their whole religion has simply no benefit, no value at all. Okay? And the pasuk goes on. Ayasa lo adam alohim. Can man make a god? V'im alo alohim. It means that all the religions, and we mentioned this many times, that all the religions in the world are basically man-made gods. Projections of the person's own emotions onto reality. A contradistinction to Yanadus, in which we recognize the true God, the source of the universe. You see? But there's a part of man which creates, projects his emotions onto reality and makes for himself a God. That's the Yasal Adam Elohim. That's all the other religions of the world. Idolatry, Christianity, all the religions. So, it's an interesting thing, you know, you often hear, like, the famous statement, did God make man or did man make God? Okay? Truth of the matter is, both are true. Depends on what you're talking about. In the framework of reality, God made man, that's our God. But the other religions are man-made gods. Ayas Allah Adam Elohim, it's a pasuk. Ayas Allah Adam Elohim. Name Allah Elohim. That's the difference. Okay. Now it goes on. The Navi goes on and says like this. And then he criticizes the Jews for turning towards Avodah Zarah, not being able to overcome their instinctual desires. And then it says, "Ko Amar Hashem Ora Gevur Shiftach Ba'Odam V'Sam Basaz Ro'al U'Minat Hashem Yasulibo." So the Navi shows you exactly the root of the problem. The root of the problem is that man is looking for his security, and the security that he has from early youth is basically the security of his parents, father figure, mother, and he tries to prolong that situation, and that eventuates in one of two things: either an avodah zara, you see, or else. It eventuates in making God. You see, his God is man. Man, because man gives him the security. In that sense, it could be anybody. It could be other people that other people that he relies on. His inner feeling, his inner deep down, his inner security in his people. Okay. So somebody one time asked me a good question. They said that according to what we're saying, that the whole of Yadus is to remove oneself from Avodah Zarah. From Avodah Zarah, that's what Chazal say. So he says, well, what would you say about a modern Reformed Jew? Doesn't have any idols, doesn't have any Avodah Zarah. Where is his Avodah Zarah? The answer is right here. So that's the pasuk. Oror hagever sheyiftach ba'odam v'sam basar zroah. That's inescapable. No matter what, unless he is serving the true God, then he has to be, his emotions are going to be tied up to man. Security is going to be some person or people that he feels that make him feel secure. The only way, in other words, the psychological security. That's the phenomenon of psychological security. The only way a person can be removed from that is if he recognizes the ultimate reality, and he recognizes another reality outside of his psychological reality. That's what the Navi says. In atheism, he has a denial. Atheism is basically a denial of the projected man-made God. You see, that's what it is. But it's many times. I mean, I would say that essentially, what atheism really gains its strength from an emotional source. It's the opposite reaction to the desire for the man-made God. It's the other reaction. It's the other side of the coin. It's like a rebellion against the right. It's the other
belief
it's
in itself.
Yeah. It's like the person is angry with the man-made God because it doesn't satisfy his desires. They say reject it. In other words, but then he's going to go with security. The person has to have a sense that his security is going to be in the psychological framework of the people. That's going to be a security. That's what he relies on. Those are the psukim. Beautiful piece of the Navi. So then it says Baruch Hashem Shiftach Bar Hashem Vayah Hashem Mivtacho. Then it goes in Vayah Keit Shaslo Amayim Val Yuval Yishalach Shirasha. That's the psukim that we see over here. That the Gemara quotes over the Chazal quote over here. So you see, it's interesting. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Chachmasam Miruba Mi Maasov. It has to be in context with the pasuk. It can't just be. Don't just quote the psukim. Psukim has to be related to the idea. So what does it show you? It shows you when it's speaking about Chachmasov and Masov, it's really referring to the difference between the intellectual recognition, and between the emotional recognition. That's it. The difference between the intellectual recognition and the emotional recognition. In other words, a person can have an intellectual recognition of this. He recognizes intellectually the reality of the ultimate reality, that all his psychological feelings and emotions are just nothing, and that he only exists in the real framework of God, the ultimate reality. But the only thing is that his emotions don't go along with it. That's what Chazal say. It's an interesting thing. It says that's why they quote this pasuk, because it says Ish. Or a gever, she yivtach ba'odom.
Yeah.
The sum basar zeroo, omer Hashem yaser libo. So what does it mean? It means to say, it says a she yivtach ba'odom. Or a gever she yivtach ba'odom. It means his sense, his emotional sense of security comes from Adam, which means even though he can have an intellectual recognition of the fact, but his emotional his emotions don't go along with it. So that's why Chazal quote this pasuk, because there's a big difference between a person. It's an interesting thing. It comes out that when it says when the pasuk says, "Ara gevur sheyiftach ba'odom v'sam basar zeroo and Hashem yaser libo v'yikar ba'rova," the pasuk they quote, it doesn't mean a person that doesn't recognize God. It doesn't mean a person doesn't recognize God. No, he recognizes God, but his emotions don't follow. Because the Gemara says that that's the person that chachmasa meruba memasa. It means that his knowledge is greater than his deeds. What does it mean? His knowledge is greater than his deeds. It means to say that his emotions don't follow along with his knowledge. He knows the fact, but emotionally it doesn't follow. Doesn't mean he doesn't mean he's denier, he denies God. That's an apikaris. It's okay for somebody else. But the Baruch Hageva Sheyitzchak Bar Hashem means that he's reached a level where it's Maisav Meruba Mechachmasa. Okay? Where it means to say he reached a level where his emotions follow along. That's the Baruch Hageva. That's really the whole parsha of the Navi. And that's what Chazal was saying over there. That's the concept. Yes? It would seem, that it has a lot to do with the... It's not so much the intellectual recognition, but there's some defect in his psyche, in his makeup. And what does it mean? So the question is, if that's the case, you can't blame him. He has some powerful force that's preventing him from assimilating a certain idea into his makeup. He's not reacting to a certain idea the way he rationally should. Because a person's constructed in a way, he sees a wild animal, he becomes frightened. So that's a natural, that's the rational, his emotions go along with reality. But if the emotions don't follow reality, then there's something wrong. So the question is, if he's under the influence of powerful emotions, so it's not his fault. Right? But the answer apparently is that it is his fault. Because he doesn't have knowledge of himself. He doesn't attempt to gain knowledge of how his inner workings, of his inner workings, of his mind. And if he doesn't do that, so then he's prone to this type of a defect. You see? But the only thing I will say is this: the only thing I will say is that the other thing is also true. In other words, I would say that there's a ratio there. In other words, if a person just has abstract fact of the existence of God, but he doesn't really understand it well philosophically. So then he really can't go too far. And the more he gains knowledge of God, the more his emotions, those emotions which are normal, which are uninhibited, will follow along, and he'll have a different perception of everything, different perception of the universe. You see, like a great chacham, who the more he sees, the knowledge of God, it sways his emotions. But those emotions have to be have to be normal emotions. If he has a serious block there, it's not going to help. So therefore, it's both. In other words, insofar as he doesn't have knowledge of God, then of course even his normal emotions can't go along. But insofar as he does gain knowledge, his normal emotions go along. But nevertheless, he has certain emotions that are problematic. The only way he can undo them is by understanding himself. If he doesn't understand himself, he's not going to get anywhere. But you do see, for instance, it's an interesting thing. Somebody made the observation. Now, there are the two groups of scientists. They have the philosophers, I should say. Basically, you have empiricists and you have rationalists or idealists. Okay? Now, it's interesting to note that the ones that the greatest, you would think empiricists sound like the real objective scientists. I mean, everybody has an impression. The empiricistic. I only accept what I see. Right? Empirical. But the truth of the matter is that the greatest empiricists were the least scientific. And the greatest rationalists were the most scientific. Yeah, for instance, Leibniz was a rationalist. You see. And he was one of the greatest men in science. One of the greatest men of Hachim in science. And you have Hume or Locke. They didn't do much in science, really. They were very big empiricists. So it's an interesting thing. Why should it be that way? Or Albert Einstein was certainly not an empiricist. Certainly a rationalist. So and he was the greatest scientist of all times, probably. What's the reason? The reason is because a person, you see, the person who is really a great theoretician sees the reality of theory. He is closer to God. So that vision that he has of seeing the Chochmas Hashem, of seeing the reality of theory, changes his whole view. Insofar as his emotions are capable of it. If you have a normal person, so it affects him. That's why the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Teshuvah, a person should set aside time to learn Chochmas Hashem. I'll talk about that more when I get the Torah Madash here. okay, what exactly the Rambam's what exactly the Rambam's prescription is for attaining Avas Hashem. But the Rambam says over there, Lefia Deotia Ava. It says openly. So yeah, that's right. But the point is, there definitely is a problem. There definitely can be a problem where the Deo itself is somehow or other doesn't affect the Ava, doesn't affect the emotions, because he has an emotional problem. And then it wouldn't help. Then the only route he could take is to study himself and to investigate his own mind and to change his emotions. That's the answer to your question. But actually, you're right. That's the institution of tshuva.
Right.
What is the institution of tshuva? The institution of tshuva, if it was just chachma, so I'd say study, learn more chachma. What do you need tshuva for? You don't need the institution of tshuva. Now, if you're going to philosophy, you don't need it. See? But he's wrong, because he doesn't have any in-depth understanding of the human mind. If you understand the human mind, you'll see the benefit of tshuva is to be able to retrace your steps. That's what tshuva basically is. To retrace your steps and be able to see the patterns of your own emotions and to see where you made a mistake. Without that study of the self, tshuva is really a study of the self. Without the study of the self, you can't progress. It's an impossibility. That's why you need both. You need tshuva and you need chachma, you need lingua. You need both. Okay, so yeah, this basically does hold that it's impossible to do without both. Chazal, it's a good question. But Chazal don't seem... See, they don't... It's an interesting thing. His question is, which person is on a higher level? A person that knows the chachma but his emotions don't go along with it? A person whose emotions go along with what he does, but he doesn't know so much chachma? It's a good question. Yeah. You know, the truth of the matter is that the memory over here doesn't address that problem. All it says is, all the memory says is, that's why remember Vahoya Ka'ar Bar Rav of a Lo Yira Kiyavo Tov and Veshach Rema Midbar. It says Lilan Shenach Varuach Bavol Krasa Vafasa Alpanot. It seems they seem to say they don't take up the problem. In other words, what they say is that it is not a tenable position, because it's true given that he has this chachma, but in all practicality, some thing's going to come along and he's going to leave the whole thing. That's what they're saying. Because a ruach bov and a shlosa upon it means the wind comes along, a difficult time comes along, and his chachma is not related to his to the rest of his nature, and therefore he's going to be he's going to have to leave the whole thing. He's going to fail. He's subject to imminent failure. That's what it means. He's subject to imminent failure. Once he leaves the chachma, that's the end of it. I don't think Yadus recognizes an idea which in a human being which simply has no relationship to the rest of the human being. See. I don't think it's even possible, basically. Because where all the energy goes, that's where the ideas go. In other words, Vafkos Alpanov means that eventually something's going to happen, and what's going and what will take place is that he's going to leave all the Chachma, he's going to involve himself in something, he's going to have to deny the whole Chachma. Can't stay that way. Not a tenable position. That's what Chazal said. Not a tenable position. If it were, then you'd have a good question. Definitely, you have to say the Chachma has a value. But it only, you find that Chazal basically emphasized Chachma not as an abstracted element of the human soul. It has to be related to the Gavra. Not related to the Gavra, just an abstract point of knowledge, which has no relationship to the main thrust of his whole essence. His main drive that has very little value. But you can't say it has no value, because otherwise they wouldn't have to say that he's not in a very strong position. They would say simply it's worthless. They don't say it's worthless. So apparently the chokhmah does have a value, but it's still practically it's a chasa upon. Practically he's subject to any kind of rapid deterioration. The chokhmah itself has a value because insofar as he can maintain that chokhmah, it definitely has some effect on his nature. You can't say it's completely. If all of a person's psychic energies were, if all of a person's psychological energies were involved in something which is against Chachma, he wouldn't be able to even maintain the Chachma. The Chachma itself would be gone. Because the Chachma depend upon the drive of the energies. But a person's Chachmasa, Merub and Masa, it means there's a certain amount of energies being directed towards the Chachma. The only problem is, in which case that has value. The only problem is, that in a bad situation, he's going to leave the whole thing, and that's going to be it. So then he's not going to have anything directed toward the Chachmas as worthless. You see? But a human being simply can't function without directing energies towards thoughts. If there's no energy directed toward that thought, it's impossible. It doesn't play any role in his nature. The thought is gone. You can't even maintain the thought. Because this whole area of Chachmas and Merum and Maisav, Maisav, Merum and Chachmas, is not to be confused with another area of Chazal. There's a Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara talks about whether Limud is greater or whether Maisa is greater. But we have to distinguish between those two areas, because they look like they're the same, basically. I think most people confuse the two. Okay? You see, for instance, Rabbeinu Yonah asks a question over here in the previously on the same member. Rabbeinu Yonah says, how is it possible that it should be Maisa of Merubim and Chachmasa? I can understand Chachmas, Merubim, and Maisa, but how do you have Maisa of Merubim and Chachmasa? Rabbeinu Yonah asks a question. It's impossible. What do you mean? His actions exceed his knowledge? So what kind of actions are they? If there's no knowledge behind the actions, they're worthless. He does crazy things. What does it mean? Rabbeinu Yonah is... But I mean, in other words, how can I let Rabbeinu Yonah answer? He answers to Leah, says it means to say a person doesn't understand things properly, but he has one conviction. I'm going to follow the Chachamim. So far as I don't understand, I'm going to follow the Chachamim. That's why I mentioned one time, I said, even though there's no psak halacha when it comes to a philosophical point, you see, when it comes to philosophical point, there's no psak, the Rambam says. Plus, there's no psak in philosophy, there's only psak halacha. So that's why you have different chazal. You don't have to say, possibly we hold, you have to think this way. You can't tell a person you have to think this way, you have to think that way. You can't, because a person has to think the way his mind goes. How can you dictate how he's supposed to think? It's an impossibility. You can't dictate to a man. But the point is, there is a certain area in which even thought will come under the halacha. For instance, a person doesn't know the Kriya Das. He's not a philosopher, doesn't know the Kriya Das. So what should his state of mind be? What should she say? I don't accept the Kriya Das. I don't understand it. It's a philosophical point. Either I understand it or not. You see? So in that area, you have Richard just mentioned, that he has to say the rational thing is the man must accept upon himself the ideas of the Chachamim. If he doesn't do that, it doesn't make any sense. The man's going to go into study physics, and he's going to say Einstein's ideas. I don't know whether they relatively exist or not. I'll decide later. Nonsense. You have to accept the ideas of the great scholars. It could be that he will become a greater scholar than Einstein and will be able to exceed and work out his own ideas. But at that moment, when he's entering the university, it's absurd for the man to say, I don't know whether it's true or not. It's crazy, a person thinks like that. So in terms of, well, even though we say that in Yadis there is no psak in philosophy, it doesn't mean that you can't dictate to a person at certain points how he should think. That's nonsense. Because otherwise a person wouldn't have to accept any of the Yisodi Adas until he's a great philosopher and he understands them. But that's a nonsensical approach. The person's commitment must be, that's what Rabbeinu Yonah explains, Maisav Merubim Mechachmaso means that he follows the pattern of the perfected actions which the Chachomim lay out for him. And they tell him, this is the proper way to live. So even though he doesn't understand why it's the proper way to live, but still he acts that way because that's the rational thing to do, to go to the scholars, go to the Chachmei Yisrael, the ones that have the knowledge in the area, and take the advice that they give you. That's Amunas Chachomim. That's one of the Yisodi Ados. Without that, you have no system. That's the base of the whole system. So there's no psak in philosophy. It means to say that a person that understands a philosophical point in a certain way, a certain tana, a certain amora, you can't dictate a psak that he has to accept another way. That's an impossibility because his mind sees it clearly this way. You can't take it away from him. There's no psak in philosophy. But that's only a person who has reached the level of chokhmah. But a person before he reaches that level, certainly we do dictate them and do tell him how the ideas that he has to accept. You see. That's right. That's exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Nasav and Ishma. Says that's Nasav and Ishma.
Because they didn't have the knowledge, but they knew that this is the way that.
That's right. Nasav and Ishma means that the Avos Rav Nosson says on this member, that's the meaning of Nasav and Ishma. If everybody understands Nasav and Ishma so simply, yeah, wonderful, Nasav and Ishma. Rabbeinu Yonah says, but then he says with Nasav and Ishma. You do everything, and you know what you're doing? What kind of nonsense is that? You can tell these people to do anything. No, Nasav and Ishma means that they recognize in Maimed Arsinai that this is a source comes from God, and that we must accept this as reality, even though we don't understand it. So first we have to accept the way that God tells us the proper way to live, and of course we have to then we have to try to understand it, because the more we understand it, the more we will gain in terms of our own lives. But in terms of our Asiyah, Asiyah is not contingent upon it. So that's where Ben Yon explains the mice of Merub Mechachmasa. Because otherwise, it's an impossibility. Mice of Merub Mechachmasa. What do you mean? If he says mice of Merub Mechachmasa means in the pre-stage. But in the ultimate stage, it can't be mice of Merub Mechachmasa. Because you can't have your actions exceed your knowledge. Because your actions are a direct result of your knowledge. And insofar as they're not a direct result of your knowledge, they're worthless. Doesn't mean mice of Adam that has no knowledge is worthless. So Ben Yon says. Has to be that way. Otherwise, logically has to be that way. Many people think this is the approach of the philosophers. But there's another way to understand it, is simply that meisim, good meisim without any knowledge has a value. It doesn't have any value. So Ben Yonah says openly. It's impossible to have meisim with Hamas. Just impossible. In our system of Yadav, it says impossible. It can't be such a thing. Gemara says it's in Kedushin of Memam Beis. It says, Kfar Hoya Rabbi Tafran is Canaan, the Subim Ba'aliyah's Beis Nitzah Balud. So Tafran and Canaan were gathered together in this attic in Lud. So they were lying there. So Nishalo Shela Zubifnea. So they asked them this question. Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol? Which one's better? Is learning better or are deeds better? So Nenner of Tafran Vamar, Rav Tafran answered, Maisa Gadol. Main thing is deeds. Nenner of Yakiva Vamar, Talmud Gadol. That learning is the important thing. Nenu Kulam Vamru, they all agreed, Talmud Gadol Sha Talmud Mevel De Maisa. That learning is better because learning brings to good deeds. Knowledge brings to good deeds. Interesting Gemara. Interesting Gemara. There's an interesting Gemara. I just want to see. There's one point I think should be made clear. And it's in Yadav. I think it's something that's often overlooked. And since Pirkei Avos, the purpose of Pirkei Avos is perfection, I think we should understand something. It's an interesting Gemara. Gemara says, "And Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis Navodah Zarah." The Gemara says, when the Romans took Chazal, the Romans captured Chazal. So Chazal were talking to each other. So Tan Rabbanan, Kishenitfesu Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan. So Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, story of Harugi, story of Malchus. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan. Ashrechle says Shenitfasta al Dover Echad, Oyli Shenitfasti al Chamisha Dvaram. So he said to him, he said that you have five. They have five. Five counts against you and me. Five counts. I'm sorry. You have one. You for five counts against me, right? And you, unfortunately, you only have one count against you. Amalei Rabbi Chanina, Ashrecha shenetfasta al chamisha dvarim va'ata nitzol. Oyli shenetfasti al dover echad ve'eini nitzol. He said, "No, you're lucky. Why? Because they have five counts against you, the Roman government. But you're going to get out of it. But me, I have one." And I'm not going to be able to get out of it. Why? He says, "Sha'at asak to the Torah b'gmilas chasadim." He says, "Because you worked, you did Torah, you learned Torah, and you also did good deeds, gmilas chasadim." And Olam Chavera. He says, "Vani lo asak di elav b'Torah b'vad." Ukid Rav Huna, Dom Rav Huna, kol ha'osek b'Torah b'vad doma kimi she'in lo eloka. The person that just learns Torah and doesn't do gmilas chasadim. It's as if he has, does not have a God. Shenema, the Yomim Rabim Li Yisrael Lelo Elokei Enes. The many days for the Jews that there will not be the true God among them. They say, Mai Lelo Elokei Enes, Shekol Hosek B'Torah B'Vad, Dome Kimi She'en Lo Eloka. Ubigmilis Chasadim. Okay, that's it. Then the Gemara goes on there. What do you mean? He wasn't asking Gemilis Chasadim. He was talking about the can't say he was. Oh, so that's a seventh. But the the principal chazal that tzaddikim akadosh baruch hu mezakeh kalein kuchu pasach. But the idea is a very important concept. What is the concept? You see, most people feel that if they're doing somebody a favor, they're losing out. What is he bothering me for? I have to do it. Ah, halacha, I must do it. I have to do it. You see, that attitude is a big mistake. Why? Because a person recognizes that when he's learning, that he's accomplishing something. Because he says, look, I'm gaining more knowledge. But in Gemilas Chasadim is a total loss. It's a loss. It's the area of loss which we accept. We have to do Gemilas Chasadim. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Gemilas Chasadim. We have to do it too. But we don't look at it in the same manner as we do Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is a game. But the reason why we do it that way, why that is that way, is because of a very subtle unconscious error. The mistake is that we haven't really left the egoistic drives of our early youth and of our lives, basically. See, in the egoistic drives, everything is accomplishment. So accomplishment, if a person accumulates wealth, if a person has status, if a person has a good job, it's an accomplishment, right? Torah becomes the same type of thing, but it's transferred. I learn, I have X amount of knowledge. Anybody comes over to me, asks me, I know Bava Kama, I know the Masechta. I can demonstrate what I have. It's something demonstrable, something I've achieved. But Gemilas Chasadim, how can you demonstrate Gemilas Chasadim? Well, I went out yesterday, somebody came to my house and had a problem. I spent 2 hours with them and I helped them out. What are there's no change in me, no visible gain in myself. It's the plaque, exactly. Okay. Then is try to overcome that. Try to overcome that. Right. By catering to the same bad emotion. Right.
Number five.
You see? But actually, the Gemara says, that, yeah. So the Gemara says that, it's an interesting thing. Teish says, what's the proof? Because it says muchach. Teish says it's muchach. It's proof from the pasuk. Rashi on the different chapter. Teish says muchach midachsiv lelo elokei emes v'hodar ksiv lelo Torah. The pasuk says mashma debereish yekama afal pi sheyesh bo Torah hi kimi she'en lo elokim. As Teish says, even though he has Torah, it's as if he has no God. Why is it? It's an amazing thing. Why is it as if he has no God? Because in Gemilas Chasadim you see whether a person is after the perfection of his soul or whether the Torah is simply another acquisition. That's the dividing line. See? A person in Yadus, what we're after is perfection. So a person could be after Torah, but it's very nice. Of course, you have a nice Torah, you say a nice shir, it's great, it's enjoyable, the ego is happy. But Gemilas Chasadim, you helped out somebody. You wasted it half an hour ago. What did you get out of this? This story just wasted my time. I could have been learning. You see? But Yadis, in its in-depth perception of man, singled out that emotion. That's Gemilas Chasadim is the Gemilas. A person must look at Gemilas Chasadim. That's why Chazal say, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Gemilas Chasadim. It means he must imitate the Creator. Gemilas Chasadim is a tremendous opportunity. It's an opportunity to perfect himself. It's not a loss, on the contrary. It's a gain. And Taisva says that first it says Gemilas Chasadim and then it says Torah. And why first? Because it means if his attitude is perfection, so then the Torah really serves as a means of perfection. But if he doesn't have that attitude of Gemilas Chasadim, so then it's worthless. It's nothing. Ein lo lakah. That's what it says. Ein lo lakah. It means he has no relationship to God. Why does he have no relationship? He has a lot of Torah, but the Torah is for himself. It has nothing to do with God. That's the objective. The Gemara over here deals with a different problem. Problem is that they were in the attic of the Beis Luz, the Nidza, Beis Nidza and Lud, and they were discussing. Rachamim sitting around discussing what's the most important thing. So what did they say? It's an interesting thing. First one said Gadol Maisa, the other said Gadol Limud, and then they all agreed that Gadol Limud Shemegel De Maisa. So what is the pshat? And how do you understand that in comparison with the Chazal we just took? Question of Chachmasa movement Maisav and Maisav movement Chachmasa. Doesn't seem to be the same problem, because otherwise Chazal would have said, what do you mean? It's a that's already the other question. That's already a question of we already discussed that novice. No, apparently it's a separate problem. How do you differentiate between the two? Over here, the conclusion was Nevnu Kulam Vamu Talmud Gadol, Shat Talmud Megal De Maisa. So it should be that Misha Chachmasim Rubin, that's Chachmasim Rubin Maisa it should be. So over there, they say it's terrible. And over here, they say, no, this is the right thing. Lauren Bava Kama, Dafi Zion. The Gemara says they gave a lot of cover to Chizkiyo. V'chavar Asula B'mosra. When Chizkiyo died, it was a terrible tragedy then. They were choshing him, people were choshing him, some say choshing him, all these kinds of things. Says v'chavar Asula B'mosra. So they gave him a lot of cover when he died. Malamech Yoshivu Yeshiva Al Kivra. So they put a yeshiva on his grave. One said that they learned there for 3 days. One said they learned there for 7 days. Some say 30 days. All right, machlekes in terms of covered. Tana Rabbana, a covered asla b'moso zeh Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda sheyetzu lefanav shloshim ela sheinichu sefer Torah mitaso. They put a sefer Torah on his bed. Va'omru kiim zeh mashakasu b'zeh. That was the cover they did for him.
They buried him with it.
No, they put it on his mito before they buried him. They said, "Kiyem zem ashakasu b'zeh." This person fulfilled what the Torah says. Then it says, "Va'idna nami avdin inochi." So the Gemara says, "We also do this now." So what does it mean? V'chavar asulah b'moso. Interesting Gemara. How could you do it now if v'chavar if you're going to take away what you do today, you're going to take away from Chizkiyahu's cover? Interesting thing. You're going to do the same thing now to everybody, so what's the cover, the great cover of Chizkiyahu? So apparently you see that the cover of Torah is so important that even years later you can't do something that'll take away from Chizkiyahu's cover. It's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. So Gemara says, Afuki Maftinin. We take out the Sefer Torah, it's true, but Anuchi lo manchin, we don't place it by him. The Boyasim Anuchi nam manchin, we could also place it by the mace. But Kiyem lo amrinim, we don't say Kiyem zem ashkas vazat. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Havazuna Bahade de Rabbi Yochanan lemishal shmaitze. I was following Rabbi Yochanan to ask him questions. Ki hava ayel lebeis akisei, when he had to go to the bathroom. Vava boini mine milsa, and we asked him a question. Lo poshetlon, he didn't answer us. Ademoshi yode umanach tzon until he came out of the Beis Akisei, and he washed his hands. He put on. Questions. Vama Mar Gadol Limud Torah Shal Limud made him a day Maisa. But we say that Limud is great because Limud brings a day Maisa. So what does it mean to say? What does it mean to say? So Rashi explains simply. Since you say Limud made a day Maisa, so which one's greater? Maisa is greater. So how can you say Kiyam Amrinin Limud La Amrinin? Kiyam is more. Okay, Kiyam is more. That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha, hola migmar, hola gmuri."
What?
The Gemara says that to learn himself, really, you're right. That mice is great, but to learn to teach others, that's even greater than mice. Interesting Gemara. Limachin arif mice. Hilchah limud lamin. That's why we don't say limud. If you say limud, it means that he taught, he learned, and he taught, and that we don't say limud zem ashkas b'zeh. That means that he's like, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Can't say that. Okay, the Gemara would seem for the Gemara that which is greater. It would seem to go. That's what Taisi Yasa Kasha. It's a contradiction. Because over here, what are you saying? You're saying that which is greater, Limud is greater because it's made with a Maisa. And over here, you're saying that Maisa is greater. That's Taisi Yasa Kasha. Taisi Yasa Kasha in Rashi. And that's why Taisi is a totally different dirt. But Rashi doesn't seem to be bothered by it. Rashi also knew the Gemara. Rashi doesn't seem to be bothered by it. So we have to understand, really, maybe if we understand the memory, we will understand according to Rashi what the answer is. That seems to be a contradiction. In other words, it wasn't a machlokas. It wasn't that a tafrin changed his mind. I mean, you don't have to learn that way, that he changed his mind. It means that he agreed that Lehman has the advantage of Mevel Demaisa. question is, how could Rabbi Akiva say limud gadol? That would seem to be saying that chachmaso meruba mimasa, and that the Mishnah says is no good. Pasuk. It says chachmaso meruba mimasa. It means the knowledge does not affect the rest of the personality. That's chachmaso meruba mimasa. So that is nothing. That's like the Rambam says over here in Agdama in Zroya, which Steve just showed me over here. The Rambam says that a person who is a he says she'adam shishia chacham nava mevakesh taivos ain't a chacham amas. A person who's a brilliant chacham and looks after the taivos, he's searching for taivos, he's not really a chacham. We don't consider this person a chacham. He's the biggest fool. He doesn't know what he's doing. His own life is not in order, which should be the most important thing. So therefore, he's not a chacham. So it means to say that's the case. The case where chachmasa merubim masav is the case that the Rambam is mentioning. Chacham navon mevakesh taivos. That's nothing. That's the case that the Mishnah is talking about. But now the case that they were talking about in the in Lud. What was the case over there? Talmud gadol or maisa gadol. What does it mean? What does that mean? It's a different thing. It's not referring to a person whose limud doesn't. Whose lima doesn't bring with it the rest of his personality. I'm not talking about that. It's talking about a different thing. In order for a person to be perfected, he has to have an appreciation of chachmas, or he has to have an appreciation of a chachmas alakim. Now, in order to have that appreciation, in order to be attached, in order to have avas Hashem, so two things are necessary. Two things are necessary, basically. One thing is the knowledge, and the second thing is the directing of the energies to that to that area, right? Directing the energies. Now there's a ratio. In other words, there's a ratio. So therefore, the question in the Gemara is, which one is more important? The question is, in other words, which is more important? Should I emphasize? Should I spend more time in increasing my knowledge? Or should I spend more time in perfecting my emotions? In perfecting my emotions.
I think we're dealing with a problem. The problem of kolshem chachmasim ruvim masav. That's one case. Chachmasim ruvim masav. And there we say that the person is totally. If that's the case, the person is totally deficient. Because they can't be successful. They can't be successful. And then. Yet you have a question in the morning, tradition of the memo base, whether limud gadol or maisa gadol. So it seems limud and country distinction to maisa. That was the story when they were up in the attic over there. So limud and country distinction to maisa. So limud means limud without maisa, and maisa means to the exclusion of limud. So limud to the exclusion of maisa would seem to be that was the question we raised. The Rambam, we picked this up once before in the Rambam's Agdama. Because the Rambam's Agdama says, if anyone that says that an Amalek is a chassid is machzav b'chachomim, is denial of the chachomim. Of course, everything in Yadis, it can't do anything without Chachma. By the way, it's an interesting case for Sriya Zakhan over there. The case for Sriya Zakhan, it says that, it says Krama. It's that no one does good issue. Mishia Dea Torah, Osam Mitzvah, the Yorim and Achatayim, the Shlemus. The person who has knowledge has true fear of sin. Avamishlo Yeda Torah, Loze Yuroi. This person is not considered a person who has fear of avarice. Tamram, ain't bull your fate, ain't a more special. Mitzurah was Esha Boluma, Shachacham inside Chachmasa, Yagia la Maisa, Hashalom, Vatel. Who can you amigos, a tovos, and amigos? You see? He says the only way that a person can really be kind of amigos, to meet us properly, is through Chachma. But he has to have an analysis of his amigos. He has to have knowledge, know how to analyze. He has to have a dark of thinking, a dark of machshava. He has to be a lamdin. He has to be a little bit, he has to have a chachma. Without chachma, it's nothing, even with regard to the midos. You see? He says, a mishum bal chunos tovos levad. He spoke about this, a person that's normally good. A person that's considered a good guy. He says, lo yagia la chachma mitzah chunos tovos. He'll never reach any chachma. V'gam ma'isef shu'osa einam al derech nechona. This is what we said already. We mentioned it once before. The reason we didn't. So, and even the actions that he does aren't done properly. V'lo al derech emes. K'mo sham rizal ein bu yurechet v'lo amar tchosif. She'en lo mada. He doesn't have any knowledge. She yeda amasim. She yitov him mitzal atman. It means he just happens to be a good guy. So he happens to have a good nature. So therefore, he will act in a way that's congenial. He has congeniality, but he doesn't have perfection in any manner. Congeniality only will go so far. You come to, we spoke about this, come to various cases, not going to have any, it's not going to help him. So it's an advantage, it's only an advantage in terms of being capable of receiving the good, the true good. The philosophy, but it's not. It's only. It's like a hechsher in the Gavra. Because a person has crazy needs, crazy compulsions. Then he can't overcome it. So that's Baal Kunas Tovos. Baal Kunas Tovos only goes so far. Without Chachma, I mean, it's not even considered perfection. Really, it's not even considered perfection. Valkain Kosa B'Torah Ulamadikam Va'atzisim. Have we limud of Chachma Kodem? Have we limud of Chachma Kodem L'Maisa? Is it the modicum of the Pasuk says? I'm the Well, it must be through Lima. The only real perfection, without Lima, there's nothing. Ain't Buddha, a fake Lama, a Pasuk means there can't be any real perfection. It's only a certain level where you can act in a nice way. But it's not perfection. Perfection means where the Das, where the Chokhmah has supremacy over the entire Gavra. That's perfection. That's only the fact. There's no real perfection. Yad doesn't really respect too much a person who's naturally nice. Natural Balmigas. It's just a forerunner. It makes you capable of acquiring good meters. But it's nothing inherently, it's nothing. That's what he says. He says, even if he's a nice guy, he says, he can't do the mice and tofu on the Derech Amos anyway. That's what the Rambam says, by the way, is Machzor B'Chachomim. Machzor B'Chachomim, he denies the whole essence of Yagos, which is that the Chachomim are the perfected people. He's saying it's not necessary to have Chachma. You just be a nice person, simple person, simple nice person. But I found that not among the intellectuals. I think it was Immanuel Kant that said it. He was very impressed with the idea of people being nice and friendly to each other, having a society where there's camaraderie and friendship. He says, I haven't found it among the intellectuals. Yeah, the reason is because the intellectuality in the world is not applied to this area. The Yadus demands the perfection of the Gavra. That's what Yadus demands. That's why we don't have any chachamim that are like you have mathematicians that were actually the level crazy, but they're great mathematicians. We don't have them. You don't have a thing. I don't even know if there's such a phenomenon. Practically, I can't say it's non-existent totally, but historically, there's definitely been in terms of probability. I mean, there's been very, very just about non-existent. You don't find people that were chachmei Torah and didn't have any meter. Because it's an impossibility. Because the Torah makes a demand on the Gavra. So the Marathon of Asisim, it's the mitzvah, it's Asiyah. The Chokhmah is tied to the Asiyah. And a person that can't be involved in Asiyah really can't learn Torah. It has to disturb him. He can't enjoy, unless he's a total schizophrenic. Otherwise, he can't enjoy the Chokhmah of Torah if it's not applicable. Because now this is really the application of Chokhmah to Derech HaChayim, the mitzvah to Asiyah. That's why we didn't have any people that are great giants in their personal lives were retired. We don't have any. The case of Acha, but that was a philosophical thing. There are halachas. I'm not saying it's impossible, but there are even halachas such a thing. Because halacha tam chokham is noheg teshua. So then there's questions, are there a lot of punim on time, not a lot of punim on time, or there are halachas for that. It's possible. But practically speaking, we haven't had such people. And our Talmud HaChamim are always perfected. So that's the nature of the Luna. Our efforts are really based on our different kind of, the different type of wisdom, different type of concept. And what the world doesn't even understand that idea, basically. I don't think the idea of Haskel Erecha Kamocha is based on Avas Hashem, and the Midos and compassion is all based on Avas Hashem. You could say that idea if you don't hold from Kadmas Acharis Bar. if you don't hold from myself. Why? Because if you don't hold from Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then then it means that God is removed from this world. Totally. It's just simply a result of his existence. That's Kadmus Olam. Kadmus Olam means that God, Aristotle was the foremost proponent of Kadmus Olam. The idea is that God is, God's existence is what is results in the world, in the universe. But the universe didn't come into existence through an act of creation, but rather exists. It exists inherently because of God. It's like the reflection, the Rambam gives an example, like the reflection of the shadow from the wall, the shadow of the wall. It would seem to me that if that is that the person's avas abrios would be in a different light, if you'd say Kadmus HaOlam, then if you'd say Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you say Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it means that God acts with his hashgacha towards Bnei Adam. For instance, he's misnabe Bnei Adam. He gives nevuah to Bnei Adam. He gives Torah Har Sinai. That means that God is directly involved in chesed with Bnei Adam. So therefore, your avas Hashem naturally has to lead you to avas abrius. But if you would say that Kadmus, if a person would assume Kadmus HaOlam, then his avas abrius would have to be in a different, totally different manner, different, being in a different dimension, being in a different dimension. An interesting idea. It could be, that could explain really also why you see our Chachamim. I mean, in the Rambam, the foremost of them, I mean, always constantly emphasized the importance. Because you think the Rambam was such a philosopher, why was he fighting so strongly for Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is, and then Rambam says, anyone that believes in Kadmus HaOlam is one of the people that are in Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Rambam says, in the beginning. And then Hilchos Teshuvah mentions it. Tara Gimel, Hilchos Teshuvah. The cult of the Torah. What number is just the exact, is it a min? It's a min. Consider the name. You see, because it's very important how you understand. That's of primary importance. If you say Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of primary importance because it affects the whole system of Yadus. It affects the whole concept of Avas Abrius. The different concept of Avas Abrius. It's more than just an abstract philosophical concept. Not that that's not important, but it expresses itself practically also in terms of a person's whole avodah, benon l'chavera. If God is removed from the world, then the avodah Hashem doesn't result. I'm not saying it wouldn't result. It doesn't result in the same type of avodah abrius. That Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Avas, because the whole purpose, you see, that the whole perfection of man really is expressed in the Torah, in two words, Volakta B'drafa. That's the perfection of man. To imitate God. So therefore, your whole avodah is going to be dependent upon your concept of God. Allah to be Rachor. So it's extremely important that you know Dat Hashem. So if Kadmus HaOlam is what you're assuming, it's a different Dat Hashem, and it's a different avodah. It's a whole different avodah. It's an interesting phenomenon. And you see the importance of Kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed in the very avodah of man. It's a whole different perspective, different concept altogether. And if God is directly involved in Gemilas Chasadim, I mean, if he participates in Gemilas Chasadim as an action, it's a different concept than saying that the universe is an offshoot of God, and there's only Asdrach HaKlalius. So it's true that a person should be in line with the Asdrach HaKlalius to show his chesed, Asdrach HaKlalius shows tremendous chesed also. But it's a different thing than saying Asdrach HaPratius, that God is an action of Gemilas Chasadim. A different concept. And imitating God would mean that you have to act that way. It's a different idea. If you can kill one person, according to Aristotle, for the good of society, it means that's nothing to do. But all this is in nature, is that there's a general order. And therefore, you should have order, you should have justice. But that's why he recommends infanticide. Because if you're just following the general pattern of Chachma. But if you say there's Ashgacha between God and man, that's a different concept altogether. That means God relates to man in particular. In particular. And he establishes a specific relationship with man. Then, and he means that he relates to particulars, particular man. Then it's man in particular. If he relates to man in particular, then you have no right to intrude on that domain. And therefore you can never make such a decision. That's the domain of God. That's how Allah says, surround the Sari. That's the basic Allah says, you can't do it. You can't give over one Jew to save 1,000 Jews. That's Allah. The main Echai of Nisa, Yehoj, Kulon, Vayim, Sulan, Nefesach, Nisa. Can't do it. That's Allah. That only makes sense if God relates to particular. Then that's the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if a person should believe in Kadmus Olam, then he wouldn't be able to say that. That was a question. One of the questions they asked recently was, ask the question. At Queen's College. They asked if somebody would say to you, let's say if you give over your daughter, it will be killed, and the whole world be saved from nuclear war. Would you do it or not? So they consider it ethical to do it. Okay? Save the world. Okay? Well, that's nonsense, according to Allah. Why? Because this is the domain of God. We have no right to... since God relates to man, in particular, you have no right to enter that area. You cannot make any decision in that area. Not your own decision. The reason that a day is different is not out of prejudice. It's because of the pasuk that says, "Adam kiyam es ba'ol, atam kiyam adam v'ein umos olam kiyam adam." That's Allah. It's not the level of Adam. It's not because the person, it's simply not the level of Adam. But you understand, if the person 2 minutes before the gayus, that's it. It means a person. Yeah, because the point really is that for halacha you can't differentiate between the person who says tzaddikim as olam and doesn't have a is not a halachic entity. The only halachic entity is the chalak and yisrael. The truth of the matter is philosophically you shouldn't do it, but there's no way. I mean, you can't try. It's like saying a person that actually was high as Mishan Basin and we know he really didn't kill. You're fine, it doesn't matter, but the halacha is still. You can't go there. Whatever, that's how you are, the person is not on the level of other. Atem kulim other. It's impossible. Seven is very nice. Basic level is a 5-2, but it's not considered up. So we have the question here. So the question we asked at that time was the same question. That the Rambam says that Chokhmah is the main thing. Because it says that with Chokhmah, the Chokhmah is given a Maisa. And that's what it says, that they both said that God will accomplish me of the Maisa. And yet before the Rambam says that a person is a Chokhmah and he's Mavakish Ataivis, so he's nothing. That was the question, right? So we said like this. That a person is a chacham and he's fixated to the tithes is definitely on a very low level. And the chacham doesn't affect him. That means that chacham mustn't rule me myself. But now the question is, what is the proper method of perfection? Which is the proper method of perfection? The method of perfection is, there are two methods of perfection. In other words, like this. When they were gathered over there, so it says, in Luke, so it says like this. Nishtal Asher is the Bechnam. Talmud Gadol and Maisa Gadol. And this we have the Machlokes. What it means is that it doesn't mean Nishtal Chachmas and Mulim and Masa. It doesn't mean a person whose meisim don't follow his chachma. He's at odds with himself. But it means to say that that when he studies the chachma, so then he naturally would do the good. The only thing is that now the question is, what should he engage himself in? Should he involve himself in pursuing more and more chachma, or should he stop and should he work on pursuing maisa? Now maisa doesn't mean just maisa mitzvah. Maisa means the actions which direct his energy towards the good. So we said there are two things that cause a person to appreciate the good. One is appreciation of the chachma itself, and one is directing, channeling the energies towards that appreciation. There's a process of channeling the energies towards appreciation, an active process of channeling the energies towards the appreciation. So that's the halacha. That's the halacha of engaging in maisa. Engaging in maisa. It means, okay? So, for instance, that's what we said, that a person who supports another, the halacha of Yisrach and Zvulun. Smach Zvulun b'teisecha v'yisecha bo'alecha. So Zvulun was a businessman, and he supported Yisrach at a certain moment. Right? That's, and the Gemara says that they both have equal schar. What does it mean, they both have equal schar? It means that they're both directing their energy towards the good. This woman may not be able to appreciate the greatest svaras, because he hasn't seen the greatest svaras. But he has a perfection of maisa that he recognizes. He has to recognize what chachma is, otherwise it's not enough. He recognizes what chachma is, and he values chachma, and he wants to make sure that chachma is perpetuated in this world, and therefore he supports, he gives half of his panasa to Yisrocha. That's a tremendous thing. That's maisa. Okay, that's maisa. Now the only question with the Gemara is, which one should a person involve himself in to the greater degree in order to bring about perfection? Interesting point. There's a Yosef Nefarsh in the case that says like this. The Odom Shalom Lamar Adayim, person who didn't learn at all, Ubal Limla, and he comes and asks a question. In Yuma Tchila or Yasek B'maisa, what should he do? Should he learn first or should he be also the maisa? Omim lo lemo kula. So we tell him learn first. Lefi she'in amar tzchosik. You see? Aval odam shalom atfar ha'maisa tov yosu me'alimo. Amazing paper. Amazing yosu me'alimo. Matter of fact, in Yagas, there's no point. Now, that's what Tesha's saying. What is Tesha's saying? Well, what is Tesha saying? But if the person comes before us and we didn't do anything yet, so what do we tell him? Learn. But then after he learns, what do we say? Maisa. What does it mean? Well, why does Tesha say that? It happens to be a beautiful Tesha. But Tesha's saying is like this. That before a person has anything, there's nothing. What is he going to do, Maisa? They're Maisa Kof Ba'amah. Nothing. But once a person has Chochma, so he knows what the good is. He's attracted. If you don't know what the good is Chochma Hashem. If you don't know what the good is, there's nothing we're talking about. It's a waste of time. But once a person knows what the good is, then if the person needs further perfection, what he should do is he should spend time channeling his energies towards the good. Because that's a process that he has to undergo. He has to work on his emotions and channel his emotions towards the good. And if he doesn't do that, he's never going to be perfected. That's what the Yosef Nefarsh says. It's an amazing Yosef Nefarsh. It's an interesting Yosef Nefarsh. As I mentioned before, people are attracted to Lumud, Gadolin, because they don't say Gadolin that can never be Maisa. They read the Gemara, but that's not really what the thing is. Gadolin to them is easy because it has a very strong psychological effect, because it's something which can give a person a great sense of egoistic achievement. It's something which is demonstrable, it's something which people can show, you could use it. It's tremendous power. People are interested in the power of Chachma, not interested in the benefit. But Yadus, you see, there's no level. You see, Yadus, there's no level. That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says. A person that's only Osek and Torah and not Gemilas Chasadim is Kilo Ein Lo Lekam. Ein Lo Lekam. That's what the Gemara says. Terasa and Nasa doesn't mean that the person is not Osek and Chasad. Definitely not. Terasa, a person is Terasa and Nasa is Osek and Chasad. It means he's not Osek and Umyas. That's what the Rambam defines Terasa and Nasa. Okay. There's no such thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was Eisa Kinshasa. You tell me, sir, no, he wasn't the Russian Nasa. Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he doing the whole time? He all chesed for the Klal Yisrael. It's impossible. Without chesed, there's nothing. There's no profession in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't exist. So Yadus is an amazing system because it's really chokhmah-based. It's chokhmah-based, but yet it's not chokhmah-based the way the world perceives an intellectual. That's not the concept. That's why they said about Rav Chaim, for instance, after he was nifted, they didn't know what to write on his kever. And they spent a long time deciding. Finally, they wrote down Rav HaChesed. Rav HaChesed. That was the Gavus of Rav Chaim. All the lumbus and everything was the Gavus of his chesed. Why? Because Yadus is a... You have to understand how Yadus works. You know what I mean? But it works in a very interesting way. It works in a way where the chachma is the center of, without chachma you have nothing, and yet, without chesed you have nothing. The chachma is supposed to eventuate in appreciation of chachma selokim, avas Hashem, and avas abriyah. Has to follow that order, otherwise the person is not in the realm of perfection. Yadus demands a gavra. Doesn't demand an activity, it demands a gavra. Not a skill, a gavra. And that's the expression of Yadus. Without chesed, I was thinking the other day, Yadus is chokhmah based, but Yadus is chokhmah based not in terms of practical chokhmah, like the world recognizes, not in terms of technological chokhmah. It's based in chokhmah, it's theoretically based, an appreciation of the theoretical. And an interesting, this is an aside, there's an interesting expression to this fact. Where is it proven? Yom HaShabbos. Yom HaShabbos. Because what is really Shabbos? Shabbos is Mechal Shabbos, very easy. Just flip on a switch for life. Or a person just takes a match and throws it into the fire. Very easy, a very easy action. Nothing to do with getting tired, exhausting yourself. You can work in business all day long, you want Mechal Shabbos and the rest. You write down one word. Two letters in the Mechal Shabbos. What's the chat? The chat is that Shabbos is really, what's the concept of Shvisa and Shabbos? It's a Shvisa of technological mind. That's what it is. Technology. It's a Shvisa from technology. That's what Shabbos really is. See? In the scientific world, you have two types of scientists. You have the technological scientists and you have the theoreticians. So there's always, between the two, there's always a tremendous strife. Which one is the better one? By Yadus, the answer is given in Yom HaShabbos. Because Yom HaShabbos means Shvisa of the technological man and the Avoda of the theoretical man. That's what Shabbos really is. What is Shabbos? It's a Shvisa of the technological man because it's talking about creativity. Lamatas Malachas has nothing to do with work. It's technology. But of course, in time of the Torah, technology wasn't advanced. So technology was expressed in Lamatas Malachas because every one of those things represent technological creativity, exactly. So on a basic level, that's the concept of that. Let's face it. If there's no, what they're saying is, if there's no appreciation of the Chokhmah Hashem, so there's no expression altogether. So we tell them the Mal Chila. But once you learned already, now what do we tell them? Right. In other words, the way Tashis, in the Western question, you can see what Tashis is. What Tashis is talking about. It says, when the Chachamim were gathered in Lud, from Nisa Lishayla to the Shnei, Talmud Gadol Maisa Gadol. What does it mean? It means the person has a choice. He reached the level of Chachma. Now he has a choice. The person has a choice. What should he do? There's Machlokas what to do. Machlokas what to do. I don't know. The Tashis is the Gemara. The Yishmael, I don't know exactly. And how the Yishmael person fixing with the Gemara is something to think about. I'm saying one thing here, there's one point. According to the Rambam, it's not necessary to say the Gemara over there, the last part of the Gemara. God Lush never demanded that was a conclusion of their argument. There's nothing to do with their argument, essentially. The argument was whether a person should engage in Yimud or in Maisa when he reaches a certain level. Okay, that was the Machlokes. And then they answered, God Lush never demanded. That means to say initially. Oh, so that would explain the Yesh Mepharshim. That's very good. That's the Yesh Mepharshim. The Yesh Mepharshim is very good. That if a person comes before us as to what to do, so we tell him Lamo. That's Gadol Limud Shemeiru De'Maisa. That means, because that's speaking about when a person comes in front of us initially what to do. And the machlokes of the kibbutz of Tzafon was speaking after the person already was a lama. So there, it passes like, oh, it'll come out, it passes like a Tzafon. That would be difficult. This is the halachic of the kibbutz of Mechavera. Alright, that's a problem with the Russian problem. Okay. But anyway, that's what we learned. Now you have the Gemara there. So the Gemara says, even if you do say Kiyam Zem Mashakasa Bazer, but we made Zem Mashakasa Bazer, the Gemara says another time, you can't say. Because then you're already infringing on Christiana's cup. Only about him he said it. So the Gemara says, Vama Ma Godalimu Torah Shalimud Mevil De Maisa. So what does it mean? Vama Ma Godalimu Torah Shalimud Mevil De Maisa. What's the Gemara's question? So Rashi says, Rashi learns like this, me nitla b'mik. Rashi learns that you see from this Gemara that mice is the greatest. That's the Gemara's counsel. So you should be able, so the Gemara says, so you should be able to say lume. You shouldn't be able to say kiyum. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, hola migma, hola agmur. So to learn for yourself, in other words, you could say lime, because you're going to say kiyum, kavachama lime. But to learn to teach others, that's the greatest thing. Then you can't lime zem, ashefesu zem, means you taught others. That's what you can't say about anybody, except Chizkiyah. Yes, Rashi learns, go to lima to make them mice, that the ultimate perfection is mice. What does it mean? Yes, both, in other words. If he's involved in the Lamed Achayrim, so then it means that's the highest form of Meiser, and that's Lima too. So that's the highest. But Lima La'atzmo is different. That's already not Meiser. That's only Lima. But Lima La'achayrim is both. That's what you have to say. So you see from Rashi when the Gemara says, go to Lima Chimel de Meiser, what does it mean? It means that the Gemara really is answering the question that I had before, basically. It's answering the problem. Because the problem was a person that knows how to learn, what should we do now? Should we involve himself in Lima, or should we involve himself in more Maisa? So we say that God will Lima, which may be Maisa. Let him involve himself in Lima, and we'll bring out a Mazel to Maisa. So the Gemara concludes that, in other words, that Maisa really is the best. That Maisa is the best. So therefore, according to Rashi, No, the Gemara always held mice as the best. So the Tosfos asks the question in the opposite way. The Tosfos from our Gemara and Kedushin, we seem to conclude that Limud is better. Because God Limud Shemel De Maisa, it means Limud is better. So what is the Gemara asking over here? See? The Tosfos learns the whole Gemara differently. He learns that it means that why? What are you saying? That you could say that Kiyam Aminim Limud Lo Aminim. That's impossible, but since Lumid brings the Maisa, so if you say Kiyam, you automatically have Lumid. In other words, he learns the Gemara, go to Lumid, Shemer, then Maisa means without Lumid, you have no Maisa. So therefore, the Gemara's kasha is that how could you say Kiyam, I mean Lumid, Law, Lumid? When you're saying Kiyam, you already said Lumid. See? Because he learns that without, when the Gemara says go to Lumid, Shemer, then Maisa, it means to say that you can't have Maisa without Lumid. It's impossible. That was the Gemara, the connotation was a different statement. God will limit the middle of the mice is a totally different statement. And then to say that if you don't have limud, your mice is worthless. As the Tosfos here is referencing. Okay? So that's the case of the Gemara S. When you said Kiyam, you're already saying limud already. So why are you saying limud law limud? My answer is no, lach limud law limud. Point of case is God will limit the middle of the mice like we explained before. That you can have mice without limud. That's what it means. God will limit the middle of the mice. Okay? That's the case. According to Rashi, God limit to make a little Maisa means that Maisa really exists per se, but limit is the best means for Maisa. It's in the Tosfos runs at the Rambam, that God limit to make a little Maisa separate. It's impossible to have Maisa or limit. Like Tosfos says, if somebody comes and asks us what to do, we tell them the limit. No. That's a difference. Things in the Tosfos runs at the Rambam. According to Tosfos, God limit to make a little Maisa means it brings a person to do the Maisa Mitzvah properly, to be perfected in the way that he does the proper action. According to Rashi, Maisa means the ultimate state of perfection. So God limit Shemir de Maisa means that Luma brings to the state of perfection of Maisa, the total state of perfection. That's what Rashi. That's my question. According to Rashi, the Gemara answers to my question. question is, which is better to reach the earth perfection, Limud or Maisa? So then they all said, go to Limud, Shemir, and Maisa. See? There's two definitions of Maisa. One definition of Maisa, it means the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfection. Then Maisa also means the activities of channeling your energies. So the question was, Limud, Gadol, and Maisa, Gadol, which is the better way to reach perfection? Is it Gadol, Limud, Shemir, and Maisa? You say Limud is a better one, because Limud always would bring to total perfection. So Maisa means total perfection, according to Rashi. That's what Rashi means. According to Rashi, the government knows that Maisa means the Maisa Mitzvah. Right. The government should never be Maisa. It means that there's no such thing. Maisa Mitzvah, nothing. You can't have it. That's the first thing. The government should never be Maisa. It's impossible to have it without Limud. And it's a separate thing. They all agreed on that. That didn't answer the Machlokes. It's a separate point. That's what the Rambam is saying. Okay, that's it. The case was result in courts of the shamans. It's like this. It says, the first part like this. Mish Chachma, Hoda the Tema, the Yeshishim Chachma. Mishi Yasa. Aval Ancient Mishi Yasa, Maisa Kerem Atomba. Okay. Yeah, so it says, so then he goes in the question of Mitzvah Veras. So if there's a Mitzvah Veras, then you must have Talmud up. There's not a Mitzvah Veras. In other words, there's no one going to do, no one that could do the mitzvah, so then you have to mafsa Talmud to do the mitzvah. The Bina Stora Ravo, he sent his son from Kisri to Tveria to learn Torah. So then he asked, inquired about his son, how's he doing? So he said, like this, says, they told him, said, Domo Chesed. He's a very big Bo Chesed. So what does it mean? So he said, that he interrupts his Torah to go to be Malava the Mason. So he sent him back, he said, what's the matter? Aren't there any Kvarim in Kisri? I have to send you to Kvarim? We find them with Talmud Kedon Lamaisa. That's what it means. That the halacha is that Ephraim brings it out. Halacha is that without the Lima, there's no concept of Maisa. The mitzvah verse, you have to be Maisa. If there's nobody else. But otherwise, the main profession is being with it. That's the sign of it. It says, Hei Nein Gufei Torah. It doesn't mean hanging on Gufa Torah. What does that mean? Everything, this is only Lachas and Torah, it's Kini and Pisca and Eus. It doesn't mean hanging on Gufa Torah. Alright? And then it says like this. It says, Kufos the Gematrios, astronomy and mathematics, is Kakros Lachachma. Kakros Lachachma. It means like a side dish for Chachma. So he says, Neshi Yesh Ben Chosbonos Rabin, Lachachma Sachesbon Mechadides Esa Odam. Kapros to Chachma. Like an introduction to Chachma. Introduction. Like an entree for Chachma. Okay? What is the meaning of this memo? What is the mission to do? It would seem that he holds it's a Chachma Hidala, that a person should involve himself in it, yet it's not Yifei Allah. Rashi is fine. It shouldn't be Talos Ben Nachon. It shouldn't be like any other Talos. I don't know what it means like this. That now he's talking about, in other words, since they're talking about Chochma, the whole essence of Yah, this is Chochma, right? So now he talks about two different types of Chochma. In terms of Chochma, there's two different types. So first, so he speaks about people's Gematrias. That's a Chochma. But that's not on the same level of Chochma as Halacha. Because that's just Chesed. That's just Chesed. Chesed is very important. If a person doesn't have chesed, then he can't learn. Because you start to learn a sugya, you don't have chesed, you don't know the facts. How are you going to analyze? You must have a good grasp of chesed. You can't learn without chesed. So he says that the kufos, gematrios, mathematics, develops a person's ability for chesed, his mental ability for chesed, which is very important in terms of perfecting his das. But anyway, so Chazal seemed to say that it's a good idea, that mathematics is a good idea for the mind, that's what it affects the mind in terms of presence. It's very good. But nevertheless, what they're saying is, this is not on the same level of Chachma as Halacha. Halacha is on a different level. Because Halacha is definition. Halacha is not just presence. Halacha is defining and conceptualizing deductive and inductive. Right. Halacha is on a much higher level. Now, that's what I think the Mishnah is saying. That mathematics is chesed, which is important as a basis for gaining knowledge. But halacha, halacha is much higher level. Halacha is more than that. Yisrei halacha. Yisrei halacha means that this is really the essence of knowledge, the essence of chokhmah. Why do you single out kumi and pisum? I'll tell you why. Because a person, because these areas, this is what I think. These areas are areas that most people who don't learn these areas. Don't learn these areas. Why? Because they're areas which are completely unrelated to any emotional type of satisfaction whatsoever. You see? They're unrelated to a person. There's no attraction to them. That's why you see people neglect them. Because they're completely, they're abstract areas, and they're completely theoretical. They're unrelated to, they're not the type of halachas that a person studies for certain, even Shabbos, I mean, there's a certain amount, you understand, there's a certain satisfaction. It's emotionally appealing. Right? On the zikin, there's a practicality. But this is simply neither, for it's just complete vestos. It's like something that people don't like to be attracted to. It's hard to get a group of people to sit down and accept that they want the practicality of halachas. They don't want psychology. I mean, to really sit down and go through vestos just to study for the, you have to study for its own sake. You have to study that just for the sake of seeing the beauty of the halachic system. That's why it uses those two. Gufe halachas. It means that a person that studies these areas is involved essentially in just appreciating the beauty of the halacha itself. That's why it uses the kumi pisum. And the beauty of the halachic system is the essence of chokhmah. That's the essence of chokhmah. So that's what I was telling you. That gematria, astronomy and mathematics are chokhmah, but it's a certain area of perfection. Perfection of the chesed part of the mind. The part that calculates, make sure that the chesed is right. The deductive analysis. But the essence of knowledge is gufei halachas. Like kinyan or pischon either. That's the area where a person can see if he's attracted to real chokhmah. For no other reason than the appreciation of the beauty of the structures, the abstract structures. Okay? That's why he uses kinyan or pischon either. It happened to be difficult areas too. They're difficult also. Part of the difficulty is because you're not attracted to it. You make a chesed with neither of this many days, that many days, and then you understand the concept of vestos, or it's abstract, completely abstract, and for the practicality, not necessary to go through all the machlokes and give them on all the theoretics. You see? But a person that's attracted to gufei halachos, that's his area. It's an area where it's purely, the attraction is purely the gufei halacha. That's the attraction. What it wants to say is that that's the real level of perfection. A person is attracted to the halachic system, purely for the halachic system. And that's the key system. Astronomy here doesn't mean astrophysics. It doesn't mean like theory of relativity. It means the calculations. Calculations of the planets, the whole system of planets, planetary system. Their system is more complicated than ours. They didn't have the planet in theory that the sun is at the center. Yeah. Made everything in that year. What? Heliocentric. Exactly. But they had the other way, that the earth is at the center. Geocentric. That way it's very difficult to work it out. Seems complicated. Epicenter. Endless problem. I just want to make one correction. And we said before, I made a mistake before. I said that the Rambam doesn't compare the two, the one that's Ein L'Chachma and the one that's a Chacham that's Mevakash Taivas. But the Chaim Shelby, he does compare those two. It's in the Hagdama. He says that the one that's a Chacham that's Mevakash Taivas, he says is worthless. Hinei B'dvar Hashem Ma'asu V'Chachmas Me'Elohem. And then he says, but a person in Moya Adam Kamokin Oved, the Nozi or Marchikamadanim Levadim Ashistak, with Tikkun Guf of Holoch Benogma Tivim Kulom, Akava Misha, Umarzik Benolamidas Kulon, Aval Ein Lo Chachma, Gamze Chasa Ashlemus, Aval Huyos Hashalom in Arishon. That's what he says. He says, so apparently the Rambam holds, you see, what I think what the Rambam means over here is not a. It means, you see, in the bottom it means he doesn't have the, when it says ain lo chokhmah, it doesn't mean to say that he's a total fool. It means he has a certain amount of basic knowledge, but he doesn't have perfection, intellectual perfection. It is an amazing thing, nevertheless.
We'll take this point up on another tape. Okay. The tape of Dalai Lama Shalala. Adamus Ram.
He uses